Hi, Dan.
Wait, I don't think I'm Dan.
No, why is nobody Dan anymore? Hi, Stephen Hackett.
Hello, Jason Snell.
Congratulations to Dan. They had a baby.
Yes.
They had a baby.
Much love to the Morn family.
That's right. They're all doing great. And not getting sleep, but that's fine. So, new betas this week, Stephen. Are you
beta four?
What life are you leading in terms of betas right now?
I have it on a laptop. I have it on my phone. I have it on my iPad, and I have it on my Apple Watch. So everything but my production Mac Studio is running a beta. I'm deep, man. I'm in deep.
Apple Watch. I haven't done that yet. I'm a little afraid of that one.
It's been fine. I really wanted to kind of check out the medications feature, which I really like. And it was really kind of a bummer just to have it on the phone. So
that's where I am.
I took the dive.
Yeah, because I've got it on my phone and my iPad now. I don't have it on my regular Mac. I have it on a laptop. And I don't have, it's not on my Apple Watch. So I'm actually at that moment. Today is the day. This happens, Stephen, you know it. It happens every year at this time where I realize I think maybe I need to actually put it on my regular computer, which is now the Mac Studio, and commit to having a laptop on my desk that is the recording laptop.
Yeah.
Which I don't want to do. But at some point, you got to do it. Like, it's right? At some point, you just got to live with it. Because you got to live with it. You can't just be a tourist if you're going to write about this stuff. You've got to live it. Center Stage on the iPad seems a lot better now in this beta.
Oh, good. Good.
You're on a non-M1.
Yeah.
iPad. Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot less janky. It's more smooth. It like auto centers when there's one window, and like they're getting there. I have my doubts that it's going to be. I think it's still a first cut at it, no matter what. And I hope that they keep kind of refining it as the iOS 16 era goes along. But it is. Between the fact that you can toggle it on and off and the fact that you can fairly easily just zoom windows so that they're full screen, I've actually kind of gotten into the idea that I'm mostly, even in Center Stage, I'm mostly living in full screen windows. And then I'm popping the windows out when I want to do multitasking.
Kinda as needed.
Yeah. Yeah, because some apps, the truth is some iPad apps on an iPad-sized screen, not on an external display, but on an iPad-sized screen, some apps just should be full screen, right? Like that's what they're made for, and they work great.
Right.
And it's when you're in a situation where you now are needing to do multiple things at once that it becomes something else. So you could do that without, you can leave Center Stage on and just, sorry, Stage Manager. There,
Stage
I did
Manager.
You can
God,
leave
the
Stage.
Names.
You can leave Stage Manager on, and keep things full screen, and it basically works the same. So. It's going okay. You have anything particular leaping out at you with the new betas this week or with the betas in general?
Yeah, I mean, things definitely seem more stable as they go along. The thing I'd still like to see them really work on, besides all the Stage Manager stuff, is I like the feature, but some of the way they've implemented the lock screen editing and like picking a new wallpaper and then really wanting your home screen and lock screen wallpaper to be related, those pairings I wish could be broken up a little bit more. And in beta 4, you can set from like the old wallpaper setting, you can set the home screen and it not totally freak out. So I think that still needs a little bit of work. And I'd also like to be able to duplicate a setup where, like, if I have all my widgets where I want them, why can't I duplicate that to as like a starting point for another lock screen?
Yeah. The wallpaper thing is such a great one. It's so fun to make a new lock screen and then I need to edit it or whatever. Like what? And then immediately is like, okay, I would like to stomp on your wallpaper now. I'm like, I just want to, and that's the thing, is like helpfully offering to do a wallpaper that's related is fine, but I really want a thing that says just leave my wallpaper alone, and I also really want a thing that says stop asking me to stomp on my wallpaper,
because
I like my wallpaper and my lock screen and I'm one of those uncoupled lock screen wallpaper people. I almost said walk screen lolpaper.
That's for your fitness focus.
LOL paper. So like I just, they're different and they don't need to be related. And the image that I choose on my lock screen is not appropriate for my home screen. So just let me have it the way I want it. So I'm glad they're working on that because that was a real pain point. I did get I got a scriptable widget running, so that's cool. It still doesn't look quite right, but like
yeah, I'm really you're a programmer now.
I'm yeah. Oh man, you don't even know the half of it. But yeah, so that is cool. And that when those third party apps start coming out that support the lock screen widgets, it's going to be wild. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But it's all just in. What's really going to be fun is that always on display on the iPhone, presumably 14 Pro, when it comes this fall. I don't know. That'll be tempting. I like my little phone though.
I think it's going to be pretty sweet. I mean, you can you guys talked about this on Upgrade, but you can kind of see how some of the wallpapers treat it like they sort of dim, and especially some of Apple's own examples, they're like kind of animating it as it dims in and out. I think there's going to be some playfulness there, which is cool, like a little fade, you know, back to the sort of at rest state for the wallpaper. But I agree with you. I'm looking forward to more third-party widgets. I've got a couple that are tied to betas, and it's already so nice to have beyond what just Apple ships.
Yeah, it's summer is weird. It's weird, right? You got to live you got to live on it. Not everything is there yet. It's not because the apps are being worked on. You it's not what everybody'll get in the fall because the apps will come out, but most of them you don't have now, and it's a whole weird thing. But we do this because it is our job to do it.
I was having
that conversation earlier today, like, you know, there's the regular people out there. It's like, "Well, you can do it if you want to, but you're really just going to be inflicting this on yourself, and you could wait and it'll probably be better later." Whereas for us, it's like, it's just not a question. Like I feel so behind. It's almost the end of July and I have not been living on the betas, and then I have not started updating my book about photos and all that, but it's like
just a few things there to do.
but I have to do my job that involves having a computer I can use. So
yeah,
we're at the point now where I'm at peak. I just have to come up with my plan of how I'm going to do it. And I think the real question is, am I going to put Ventura Beta on my Mac Studio, or am I going to commit? Because I have an M2 MacBook Air that'll be here next week. The other way I could go is I could set that up in Ventura, attach it to my display and keyboard, and have it be my regular computer a lot of the time in Ventura when I'm not recording, and then flip over. With the external display, I can do that, right? Like, so that may be where I go, only because I don't really want to, like, I got the Stream Deck buttons and I got it exactly the way I want it. And so to abandon this all for some other thing I don't really want to do, but I gotta start living with it. So it might be, I might become big laptop boy.
I mean, at least you've got that option. Like when you were using the iMac and the iMac Pro, it was kind of a different deal, right? Because it was like, this is the thing that's floating above my desk. But yeah, I think you use the laptop as a desktop replacement and then just, you know, move that Thunderbolt cable over when it's time to record.
Yeah, flip it into the other gear. I may actually need to do some rewiring for that, because one thought that I had is the really easy way to do this is to get more of my USB devices plugged directly into my display.
Oh, so they just follow the upstream connection.
Because if I can keep my keyboard and trackpad attached to whatever is on the display, then I don't, you know, right? Because I'm not going to want to plug in the laptop and then my keyboard is still attached to the Mac Studio. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so that'd
be bad. I'm going to have to figure that one out. And that, I may need to, you know, run a big USB cable and rewire it all so that it still works on the Mac Studio, but it also works on the MacBook Air. But
can I just say how much I love the Mac Studio? It's so good.
You and I both are living the studio life. I do too. I did a Ventura beta update on a separate partition that totally failed, by the way, and I nuked it.
Oh no!
and I just nuked it. But when it was rebooting, it turned the fans on all the way, and I was like, "Ha ha! There are those fans." But you and I both have them under our desks, and you can't hear them. and you can't even see them unless you look for them, and they're just there doing, being fast and invisible.
Doing their thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I'm almost back in the iMac lifestyle, because I mean, I had the Mac Pro for 3 years, and it was like an ever-present friend on the floor, and then eventually at my new standing desk, I had it like on a side table like Syracuse does. But with the studio, it's kind of actually really easy to forget that the computer's just not built into the display. I mean, I would imagine, especially for you, going to a studio display that's the same size and same resolution of your, you know, the iMacs you had before.
Yep.
Probably sometimes you probably got to think like, oh yeah, this isn't actually a new iMac. There's a tall Mac Mini under there doing its thing.
Yeah, it's the display is thinner and lighter and all of that. And then the computer is separated, and but it's invisible. It actually comes up a lot when I'm sort of thinking, oh, I need to plug in this USB device, and I realize I should probably just do it straight into the front of the Mac Studio.
Yeah,
you know, so I kind of bend down a little so I can see it. Mm-hmm. You've got that Etsy 3D printed.
I did. Thing, I got right? one before. Apparently, that person, like, I don't know if they were like overwhelmed with orders or what, but they were taking a break from Etsy last I heard.
Oh no!
But I'm a little surprised we haven't seen more like nice options for this. Maybe it just takes a long time to figure out how to like bend a piece of aluminum, but I've been happy with it. Yeah. I know John got one, and he was talking on ATP about like safety straps and stuff. Like I feel good that it's not going to fall.
John is very extra. Yeah, it's. I feel very very good that it's not that all four screws are not going to fail simultaneously and drop it to the mm-hmm. floor. I have that weird like newer technology OWC Lucite thing that was made for Mac Mini and a stacked hard drive or whatever, and it doesn't fit exactly right, but it fits close enough. And in fact, it's not exact. It's kind of nice because I can like route a cable from the back to the front and stuff through the little gaps.
There's none of that for the 3D printed thing. Perfect.
But I keep expecting either one of these companies that makes the metal under, like I've got one for my USB interface. I've got a little metal shelf under my desk. Mm-hmm. I expected them to come up with something for the Mac Studio immediately. And I haven't seen it. I thought 12 South would probably do something at some point. Haven't seen that either. But who knows? I mean, there may really be some serious sort of supply chain related issues where it's like our source for that is overwhelmed with something else and we can't get it. And we live in a weird time. But I do love having it. I'm glad you like it too. It's great. It's Mac Studio is awesome. And I like the idea that in a few years I can get something else and plug it in and it'll just keep on motoring. But like it's so nice after having the iMac Pro for, you know, several years to get that upgrade and get that Apple Silicon boost, which is really nice to have.
It's so good. It's such a great machine. And yeah, if you know 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the road replace it and you know the Mac Studio is still a thing, you could literally, I mean, it's kind of like the Mac Mini idea, right? You just unplug it and plug the new one in. I mean, the Mac Mini even goes so far as like the power plug has been in the same place for like 15 years. Part of that's because people put them in racks and stuff, but you just like unplug the old one, plug the new one in, and you're set.
Yeah. And then I got a new server, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
It's totally overkill.
Overkill.
But, you know.
Vastly overkill.
Yeah. You know, live out its retirement as a server or sell it. One of those. I haven't sold my iMac Pro. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I'm actually thinking of turning it into my Windows 11 gaming screen. Because I don't know what else to do with it. I mean, I could trade it in, but it's going to be for very little money. I tried to sell it on Craigslist, and that failed. And like the people who would buy an iMac Pro are already on Apple Silicon. So, or I could donate it to maybe like my local school or something. Anyway, I have thought about setting it up just as so that I can play some PC games and some old, you know, emulated arcade games and stuff. Because it's, you know, it's an all in one. It would be a bad server. Put it that way.
Oh yeah, that's no good. The market for the Intel Mac has just, I mean, it's completely gone. I mean, I just looked up iMac Pro on eBay and it's not good. Like
no.
$1,300, $1,400.
Jeez, I'd take that. I'd take that. It's a tough one.
I'm sure Apple offered you like $6, but
I didn't even look because it's like what yeah. Come on.
I mean, it's one reason I hadn't really planned on making the jump yet, but I got nervous about the Intel Mac market. And I was like, I don't, you know, the Mac Pro was worth way too much to just stick it in the collection. And I, you know, quite frankly, needed to sell it to help pay for the Mac Studio because I got a pretty expensive SKU. And so I went ahead and jumped earlier than I thought I was going to. And I'm glad I did because it's only continued to fall. And this is what happened. I remember this very clearly in the PowerPC to Intel transition where, like, especially like G4 and G5 towers, which had held their value pretty well, just fell off a cliff. And it's always a byproduct of these big changes. And they'll even out, you know, after a while, they're sort of level off. And, you know, if you need to find like an Intel MacBook Air for like a family member or something, you know, the prices will settle. But not a great time to be selling an Intel Mac, that's for sure.
No. Like I said, this is what drives me to think maybe it's my Steam PC. Get one of those controllers that I've got floating around the house and just set it up on the side here in my office and say, well, this is for playing all those PC games that I keep thinking will come to the Mac eventually and never do. Maybe. I don't know.
Could be.
Your Kickstarter is still going on. You should tell the people here if they haven't heard about it. It's a calendar for next year. I've got your calendar. Oh, I get to change the month very soon to a new picture.
Yes.
Of pictures of Mac stuff in a calendar that you can buy using Kickstarter.
That's right. Yeah. So this is the second one, the Apple History Calendar. And so the idea is, instead of a bunch of boring holidays, this calendar marks significant events in Apple history. So the one for 2022 focused on dates in Apple's hardware history. So this is the day the Xserve RAID came out, and this is when the 20th anniversary Mac got canceled, all those sorts of things. And the top half of the calendar is my own like product photography of Macs and other Apple devices in my collection. And last year's was a really big success, had over 1,000 people order calendars, which was just mind-blowing. I had no idea how it was going to go. I was so excited anybody bought one. And so a lot of people had asked me if I was going to do it again. And so this year I'm focused on software dates. So when OSs were announced or a bunch of weird stuff Apple tried in the 90s, like there's some OpenDoc and stuff in there. And then the photos are Apple software, but in the context of hardware. So like there's no screenshots, right? It's like I took a picture yesterday or finished a photo yesterday of a Newton product running Newton OS with like handwriting on it. So it's like talking about the OS in the context of the hardware. And the Kickstarter ends the morning of August 5th. And so you've got just about 6 days left. We're sitting right now as we record at 930 backers, which is so awesome. And yeah, if you love Apple tech nerdery, this is a great thing to put in your cubicle, in your kitchen, in your home somewhere. And a lot of people have bought them as gifts as well. So if you need to buy more than one, there's options for that as well. And you can spread the love with those in your life.
Yeah, the photos are fun. I'm currently looking at the iBook that's sitting out on a dock, pondering a dip in the lake.
I think it was pondering a life without wires, is what that caption says.
I see. And one, I got to be present, or at least nearby, for one of the photos in the new calendar, which is that you brought a Mac Pro wheel to Apple Park. So that you could take a picture of a Mac Pro wheel lurking in the grass at Apple Park.
Sure did. Yeah, that one, that I'm really happy with that photo. And that photo, I didn't get a lot of looks when I was taking it. But let me tell you, that iBook on the dock, a lot of people were walking by wondering, what is that guy doing?
What's wrong with that guy? Yeah.
Yeah, what is he doing? Taking this like beautiful, because the lake where I took that picture, like it really is beautiful. And people are always walking and biking around it. I walk and bike around it all the time. I was like, yep, I'm just here with a laptop from 1999.
Yep.
Taking a photo.
We're pondering life without wires. What about you? How are you doing? We're fine down here. Apple's results came out yesterday. I don't know. I made a lot of charts and I wrote about it. I feel like it was like Wall Street seems relieved because they were worried for the worst. It was actually not as bad as Apple anticipated. Bad for Apple. I always have to do this caveat. Bad for Apple is not bad. They made a huge amount of money. They set a third quarter record for revenue.
Mm-hmm.
But they did say that it was less than $4 billion, but it was still like $3-something billion of stuff that they anticipated they could have sold that they didn't sell because they couldn't fulfill demand, especially on the Mac and the iPad, especially the Mac. The most telling moment in the whole call was when an analyst asked Tim Cook, how about this 10% down year over year for Mac revenue? How are you feeling about that? And Tim said, well, let me tell you. We were really happy at the end of the quarter when it got to 10%.
Ooh.
It's like, whoa. So basically, there were lots of shutdowns in factories in Shanghai. Shanghai is where most Macs are assembled. So it really hit the Mac. And we all know, right? All the stories about, better order a Mac Studio now. You can get it in 2 months. Mm-hmm. Or your laptop now. Maybe you'll get it in a month and a half. Well, that is all because there was the shutdown. And everything's kind of coming back up, but it takes time. And so, you know, Cook's the serious implication there is that they were looking like the Mac was going to be way down year over year. And they managed to ship a bunch of stuff toward the end of the quarter as they got those factories back up and running. So it could have been worse is sort of the message there, that you should actually be pretty grateful that it was only down 10% year over year after a series of record quarters for the Mac. Like they couldn't make them because, and somebody asked like, how do you gauge what the Mac demand would have been? And his response was something like, you can't gauge demand if you don't have supply.
Well, and those numbers don't include the new M2 MacBook Air.
No.
Right, because that's solely in the new quarter.
Yeah, and you know, again, they're struggling to ship those, but they are shipping those. And you know, I ordered one, and it is coming in a few days. I mentioned coming next week. So those are...
I got one right here.
I think So things are moving through. Of course, the risk there is that there could be another shutdown at some point, right?
And
they're going to be back in this scenario. It actually makes me wonder if Apple is considering not the old story about like, do you need some things outside of China, but more like, do you have too many things in Shanghai? Should you have like a different part of China where you also assemble Macs so that you can avoid some shutdowns? I don't know whether it's practical or not, but it's out there. I mean, the iPhone did okay. The iPad was down a little bit, and they said again, supply constraints. Services was a little soft, although they said that a lot of it... So the cocktail, I wrote about this on Macworld, the cocktail of headwinds, which is a amazingly mixed metaphor.
It really is.
It's a mixed drink and metaphor. The cocktail of headwinds is last year they had a business in Russia and this year they don't. It's all the supply chain issues, which is there are two main ones. It's the shutdowns of the factories and it's the silicon shortage. And they anticipate that the shutdowns hopefully will be over. Silicon shortage is easing, but still present. And then foreign exchange, which is the one that people in the US especially don't think about. But like the dollar is real strong right now. My daughter is in France at the moment. She's about to go to London. She spent the last like 5 weeks in Europe, in the EU, in the Eurozone. And the euro is 1-to-1 with the dollar, which is bananas. Like the dollar is so strong right now, which is great if you're a European tourist. If you're an American in Europe, I should specify. It's terrible if you're a European tourist in America. And it's terrible if you're an American company like Apple that now has to sell their products in the rest of the world, because one of two things is going to happen. Either the foreign exchange difference is going to eat your margins, or you're going to have to raise prices. And your product is going to be more expensive to everyone else. You know, you talk to Mike every week. Mike drops what the Apple products cost in pounds, and you're like, ooh, that's so expensive. So much more expensive than it is in the U.S. So it's bad for Apple. And what's funny is they talked about this a few years ago, and they made brief mention of it yesterday. They have this hedging thing they do, which is basically they are buying currency in other countries. And essentially what they're doing is they're making a hedge. So if the dollar gets too strong, although that's bad for their business overseas, their hedge investment is good. And so what they're doing is they're trying to basically mitigate the fluctuations caused by foreign exchange. That all said, people did the calculation on the call yesterday and said that, you know, Apple's going to be like, they're going to have $5 billion kind of go away in foreign exchange next quarter.
Wow. Just evaporate.
Yeah. So that's another one of the cocktail of headwinds, as Luca Maestri called it. That's another one of the ingredients in the cocktail. And it's a lot. So like Apple, I think everybody was relieved that Apple's doing okay. And then that is good for the whole industry and the whole like stock market. And I get the sense that Apple's business is pretty strong. They said the wearables really got hit, and they think that was macroeconomic. They said the iPhone sold like there was no question about the economy, but that the wearables sold like there was a real question about the economy. Like maybe buying a wearable is where you say, maybe I won't buy an Apple Watch or AirPods or whatever. But I would anticipate that Apple's business is so strong that they can weather all this stuff. And they asked Tim Cook about making cuts, and he used the invest through the downturn phrase, which is what I like to hear, because if you've got the money to invest during a downturn, that's what you do. You don't sell when it's low, you buy when it's low, because then it comes back up and you've got even more of it. And Apple's been really good at that, and I think they will continue to be good at that. So their business is in a really great place. And their competitors are also suffering. So I think it's all going to be okay, right? Like, don't worry about Apple. Apple's going to be fine. But this was not their best. I mean, it was their best third quarter ever. So I guess on that level. But if you look at the signs, like, they're not unaffected by what's going on.
Yeah, the service number definitely jumped out at me when I was looking through your charts last night.
It's been two years since they had a sequential drop. It was still up year over year by like 10%, but it's their first sequential drop in 2 years.
It's the smallest year over year growth they've had since your chart begins.
Yeah, it's
which is interesting too.
Yeah, yeah, and then the bottom dropped out of wearables, which again they said they thought that was just straight up macroeconomic, but who knows? And they also said it was a tough compare, which I love that term because and they're like, oh, you know, AirTags. I'm like, really? AirTags, I know, but really, but those are two, you know, services and wearables have been the two categories that only go up, and one of them still went up, but by not a lot, and the other one went down. So those are your signs, and then the Mac went down, I think, for explainable reasons. But like, it's soft. I guess that's what I would say is that Apple still set a record, but it was not one of those records where Apple is like, yep, we're awesome, unaffected, no problems. It's like, no, they won the day, but they've got the scars, they've got the wounds to show that even the world's most valuable company is not unaffected by what's going on globally right now.
Exactly. What sort of expectations do they set for the next quarter?
Well, they love living in uncertain times where they don't have to give guidance because they had just stopped doing that when COVID happened. They're like, nope, no more guidance. We don't know what's going to happen. And you can't blame them. I mean, the Shanghai shutdown came out of nowhere and really affected their Mac plans. So, like I said, they're going to take a hit from foreign exchange. I think they've got some confidence that their business is so good, basically, that they can take some of these hits and still end up being okay. And that's one of the reasons that the Apple stock price went up after they made the announcement is I think everybody was relieved that Apple was saying, you know, it's going to be okay. And that they're in the end, their products still see a lot of demand. And in a very soft market, the iPhone still showed growth and they know that there are new iPhones coming and they're going to be okay. But it's going to be, I think, we're in for a year now, and I know Mike and I are going to talk about this on Upgrade on Monday because he loves talking about this stuff. But I think we're in for a year now where Apple's results are going to seem a little lackluster, and that's mostly because of, in addition to the cocktail, we've got coming up a new iPhone revision that's kind of, it's got the stuff we're excited about, but like it's the same case. There's one more year. This is year three of the iPhone 12 style phone.
It may play out very much like how the 11 cycle went. Although with the 11, it was the first time they had the Pro phone, and this time
they're gonna have a Max, non Pro Max,
a Max,
right? They do stuff, right? Because you can't just leave it there all along. But if you look, I did one of these posts, maybe at the end of the year or at the end of the fiscal year. If you look at the big picture, like over years, you really see that cycle where there's this 2 or 3 year design cycle that Apple does, and the new design causes the spike of sales. And then the spike, it comes off of that spike, but doesn't go back to where it was. Like, so Apple does have iPhone growth is still a real thing. And they said their switcher numbers were great this quarter. They're like, more than half the Macs they sold went to people who were switching, right? Like,
isn't that amazing? Far into the Mac's life
is amazing. And iPhone, they said that they really were saw success with iPhone switchers from Android too. So there are still new customers out there, and there's room for iPhone growth. That's all true, but most of that growth seems to happen in year one of a new cycle, and that sets a new kind of plateau, and then they stay there for a while, and that third year is kind of like, you know, it's okay. And because of that, we're headed into that year. So I think that there's going to be a year where Apple's results are going to be kind of like good and still maybe even records, but not quite like explosive growth, and everybody's going to get a little grumpy. All the analysts are going to ask pointed questions on the call, and then they'll come out with the next iPhone and sell a bazillion of those, and you know, off they go to the races again. If the past is to be any guide, that's what will happen. So we'll see. Hey, I have a Six Colors note before we go, which is just to say, we opened up a Discord this week.
Yeah.
We had a free Slack community for a while now, but we have a Discord. The Slack community will be sort of like slowly fading away over time. We'll give it some time, but we're moving people to Discord. We're going to do some new stuff with a site that's going to happen in Discord, or at least be linked to from Discord. So it's good to go in there if you are comfortable with Discord, or if you want to give it a try. And you can basically go to your page at the Six Colors Member Center, so sixcolors.com/subscribe, and you will get, there'll be a link there to join the Discord. And you've got to be a member, but you've got to be a member to listen to this podcast too. So that means you're in, baby, you're in.
It's going to be a lot of fun. There's some good people in here already.
Yeah, I see that you joined it. So thanks for that. So you can do that, or you can go to sixcolors.memberful.com and log in there, and there's a big Discord link too, and you can do that. It'll be in the newsletter this week, and I just want to alert everybody that the Discord is there. And one of the features the Discord has is that it's directly integrated with Memberful, which is great because that's what you guys use with Relay FM, and like that seamless integration is really important. Slack doesn't have any of these tools. Slack is great. I love Slack. It's free. That's great. Unfortunately, if you want features, you have to pay, and the cost of Slack is really for corporate stuff. It's not made for communities like ours. It's not the right tool for the job. So Discord it is, and it's different, but I think it's going to be good. So check it out. There are probably people out there who are like, I've been waiting for you to do Discord. I didn't want to use Slack. And other people are like, I didn't even know there was a community. Well, there is, but it's on Discord now. So go there. Check it out.
Yeah.
Friendly people.
The integration is just really great. It's easy to sign up and get signed in. I mean, we've got like over 4,000 people in the Relay one now.
Yeah,
it's works through Memberful.
Six Colors is smaller. It's not. I've also heard from people, I'll throw this out there, who feel overwhelmed by the Relay FM Discord because it's huge.
It's big.
I'll just say that Six Colors doesn't have that many members. Not even close. So then the subset that are using the Discord will be even smaller. So it'll be a much lower volume community than the Relay community, which is nice. I like the Relay community. It's just there's a lot of people in there. It's pretty wild.
It's big.
It's great.
Yeah, and it's just a percentage of our overall members. It just keeps, every time I look at that insight, it's like keeps growing.
Yeah.
I'm glad you've done it.
A bunch of the Relay FM mods are actually the people who helped set up the Six Colors Discord, and that's really great, and they've been very helpful. Every now and then they'd ask a question like, do we need this feature that we have on Relay FM? And I would say, I don't think we do. And they said, yeah, I don't think so either. I don't think, because I keep saying, like, keep in mind, we had the Slack community where we had none of these features, and it was fine for the most part, right? It was fine. But that's the difference between having a few hundred people in a Discord and a few thousand people. It's like, it is an order of magnitude difference in terms of policing and rules about posting and rules about whether you can mention somebody. And like the Relay FM Discord is really locked down for good reasons. Six Colors one, a little less so for now, because I think that it's a smaller community and it'll be okay. But we have, the beauty is we have all those tools at our disposal.
Right. You have options now, or Slack, you just don't.
Right. And there will be a Six Colors podcast. So there's new stuff coming down the pipe. Next month probably be announced. There is some stuff that'll be related to the Six Colors podcast. Don't worry. Don't worry. We're not taking away anything from anybody. That's every. But we're going to add some stuff. It's going to be different and more on that to come. But including this podcast, which was never part of the original plan for Six Colors. We sort of did it on a whim. And I hear from a lot of people that it's the number one reason they subscribe. So thank you for listening to the podcast. I am surprised when I hear from people who are like, Marco did this the other day on ATP, where he was like,
I heard that. Yeah.
Oh, I was listening to the Six Colors podcast, and Jason and Dan were talking about this. And I was like, oh, he listened, right? Like, you know, because it did. This is sort of, ironically, accidental podcast of a sort. It was not part of a big strategy, but I'm glad people like it. And it's great. I'm very happy. It was not, you know, include premium podcast in your support was not a part of the plan, but it's turned out to be pretty great. And Stephen, thank you for being here and listening to me and talking to me in my time of trouble while my my podcast pal is off bouncing a baby on his knee.
Yeah, always happy to hang out here.
All right, well, bye Stephen.
Bye Jason.
And bye, Dan, wherever you are.